Welcome to Have You Heard, where we talk about issues at the intersection of agriculture and engineering. Let's get started. Here are your hosts, Morgan Hayes and Josh Jackson.
Welcome. This is the Have You Heard podcast, episode 74. We're going to say a little bit about anchoring farm buildings. I'm Morgan Hayes, a professor in biosystems engineering here at the University of Kentucky, focusing on livestock facilities in Boyle County.
And I'm Josh Jackson, a professor in biosystems agriculture engineering as well. We're focused on precision livestock farming, personal life. We raise registered Angus cattle and goats, and also
Okay, so we've been busy. We had a busy farm machinery show and then some illness, but we are back again. I know people think we might never make it back to a regular schedule, but it is our goal to get back to regular recording-ish schedule. So, but what's been happening on the farm the last couple of
years? Let's see here. So we weaned the calves. I don't know if I mentioned that. Weaner calves, trying to reduce our reliance on hay as much. So more efficient to feed the calf than it is to feed the cow. So trying to focus on getting them where they need to be. So had them weaned, did some pregnancy testing this past weekend. So after we weaned them 2 weekends ago, we went ahead and did some pregnancy testing this past weekend. Check where everybody is.
Any results yet?
Still waiting on the results. So usually we do the blood test, and we can do on some. We'll go ahead and maybe palp them out.
Well, you'd be sitting right now today, probably. Fingers crossed for you that you have good pregnancy results. But, you know.
It's, you know, one of those, it's with hay being tight, you know, might have been pushing them a little bit here or there. But, you know, we put the hay to them, but realizing that it could be a little bit stressful situation for everybody just with the limited hay supply. Also did spread the manure as well, so kind of been just doing a lot of different things. And then with the goats, just moving them around, making sure they're taken care of.
You've been feeding hay as you would expect this time of year. Big push. We've been just processed animals for meat, so figuring out first get them delivered where they need to be. Big one. Aside from that, we're working on smaller tasks, general farm maintenance type things, organize fence and old tobacco barn to reset things up, try and get things organized before summer comes and things are so busy that
everything
they just get more disarrayed instead of less disarrayed.
Everything's just thrown to the side and it just goes to pandemonium fairly quick.
Yep, exactly. So getting all those things sort of done right now, one of our big pushes before we get busier.
Okay, a lot of sense.
And we've been cleaning up some more trees and limbs.
And we did have a storm push through last night. Created some more trees and limbs coming down as well.
I wouldn't even necessarily call it last night. I think it was this morning. Currently the 28th of February, and it was pretty nasty. In theory, it was supposed to be nasty yesterday. Well, yesterday we were able to scoot by with very minimal damage, but this morning the storms came through very strong.
Yes. That kind of leads us into our topic for today.
Yeah, the topic of the day, which is anchoring buildings. How do we manage buildings for wind? What are the styles of attachment buildings ground? And I think we'll start maybe with the most basic, which is putting a building on a stop, which is a traditional tobacco barn building style, where really there's no actual building in the ground. There's either a block, piece of wood, a concrete poured area, and then a post sits on top of it at or above ground level. Not a great option for lightweight buildings. Not a great option for buildings that are partially open. When I say partially open, I mean engineering, meaning that the walls are 50% open, but there's some walls that are more enclosed than others. And what ends up happening, get very diverse pressures and a lot of lift associated with. not great for those buildings to not anchor to the ground. But for tobacco barns, what we actually have is a tremendous weight.
Yeah.
This building has a lot of tier rails, a lot of wood in it. When we look at it in terms of a downward pressure on these posts, it is so high that it can offset any wind load that comes in most cases.
Yes, in the large time. And there's been some instances where they do pick up and shift to some degree.
Yeah, I've seen buildings actually do that, turn or shift off of their foundation, but it's pretty unusual. It tends to happen in older barns where people have taken off some siding, pulled out some tier rails to be able to store things in there.
Yep.
It's actually, especially if tobacco is hanging in those buildings, it's very unlikely for any movement to occur. Sometimes when the building is open and people have pulled some material out, that weight has dropped enough.
You know, a lot of those, even some of those buildings, you know, some people talk about trying to take out some of those columns, take out, you know, they're removing the weight. And so then it's designed to hold tobacco. And so they take out some of those columns, take out some of the, open up of those buildings, it takes away some of that kind of web strength along the side of the building. You sacrifice some of your structural.
Yeah, absolutely. Tobacco barns are probably the one building that when I walk in and I see it not attached to the ground, I don't have a lot of huge concerns, unless someone is looking to buy it, in which I recommend.
And I know in some businesses, you know, they had the old stone in there still.
Mm, yeah, they used to do the laid stone foundations. Yeah.
And so I know in some of those instances, we had to go back and suggest, you know, that they take some of those stones out and put in a concrete. Like if we're putting a working facility in there.
Right. So they could actually post on it so that if a cow pushed the post, it wouldn't over. Both dangerous for the animals in the barn, but also, I mean, structurally, it's not ideal to there's any sort of horizontal pressures on the.
Yep. And yeah, because I know the cattle in some of those barns, they can put a significant amount of force to get a fair number of animals in there, all pushing. So it can, animals in the heat or something, it can create a lot of pressure on some of those lateral forces.
Yep, absolutely. That's a big one. So you're anchoring it both to avoid an uplift, as well as give you something for downward pressure for the weight of the structure.
And so we mentioned in the wind before, I know we had a structure. So some of this, we have a structure that's enclosed on three sides and open on one end. So when you have a structure like that, that's a structure that can, like you mentioned, capture a lot of that wind. Those posts along the, I guess, most open side there, they're seeing the most uplift forces.
Yeah, I mean, this is essentially one of a couple things you could do. This is a run-in shed. If horse person or even a cattle person. The bigger structure, it looks more like a monoslope. These structures, though, in Kentucky, whereas in other areas they're always anchored, sometimes they're on skids here in Kentucky, or they're just a loose structure that's put up and then maybe more portable or whatnot. But with the winds that we've seen here in the last year, I'm going to suggest that most people, it is not advantageous to structure
on skids
at this point. I've seen a number of them blow over and partly that's because of the wind direction. So with that monoslope, a lot of times people will set it up so that the wind will blow into it so that the taller side receives the wind, and sometimes they have a little opening on the backside, but sometimes it's fully enclosed on that back wall, and what you've essentially done is created this giant sail that gets picked up and then it gets flipped over.
Yes.
And it's not unusual to see one on skids get turned regularly. So it's just something to keep in mind. That's not steel structural design. Some people will turn it against the wind and allow the wind to hit the back side of it and use it as a windbreak, and then the taller side face the other direction, usually north or east, which is probably the more appropriate opening direction, is to have it open to the east.
Yes.
Because that's the least weather we get is from the east. usually less than 10%. A lot of areas of Kentucky, but everyone should look at their own windrows locally and make their own decisions about how to orient it. But ideally, the bigger opening should be weathered side of the.
And I think, you know, a lot of people who might face it to the south are trying to potentially dry it out, essentially. Point it to the south, get some of that sun in there, hopefully to dry out. You get some animals in there, make it a little muddy. And that, you know, that's one of the reasons they may have it on kids, just because, well, they've destroyed this area, let's move it. Or maybe it's on a geotextile fabric, they made this area a muddy mess, let's move it or make it easier to clean out. That could be, that's one of the desirable aspects if it was on skids, was that we can move it to different locations and just tear up this one spot.
Yeah, and I think there are, I mean, there's times when that's a value to have something like that. But I think the way winds have been this last, it's been very tough for the structures that are. Yep. I've seen people even use ground anchors, which are basically like giant screws that they put in the ground to try and anchor these. I have yet to see one of a ground anchoring system actually hold down larger sheds. I think potentially it's a feasible solution for smaller structures.
Yes.
You know, one that is, you know, 8 foot tall or less, or maybe a structure you could put out for a goat.
Yes.
The key with that is that you still need good tethers on those ground anchors. The ground anchors have to be rated for the right upward forces. So there has to be enough of them to offset the building that might lift up. A lot of those buildings are fabric-y, so that tarps and things like that all end up tearing in. So there's a little bit of a nuance there, but those ground anchors are an interesting option for much smaller structures and need. For those bigger run-in sheds, though, I think we're better off to actually really anchor our posts correctly, right?
Yes, and that's one thing. We've had the ones on skid kind, and we've had them blow over. We had the March storms in 2023. We had one on skid that blew over.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, oh, we'll go ahead and build this structure, or we had somebody build the structure for us. And then in this past windstorm, it blew over. And so there's about, I think, the post depth is also really, really important for that the uplift force, especially for those three-sided structures, can be rather significant. And so for us now, like, oh, it definitely has to be buried properly.
Buried. Properly. The posts have to be in the ground enough.
Yes.
So what do you think that the person that built this structure actually, how far in the ground were the posts?
I want to say they were 3 foot, but the concrete was towards the top. I think it's probably what, you know, they're about 3 foot, but the concrete being towards the top instead of being towards the bottom. It might have been what caused the issue.
Yeah, I think most people would recommend 3 to 4 feet in the ground. Close. The other thing I think that's pretty important about putting these, ideally the concrete actually sits below grade in a collar. So a big round circle around the post.
Yep.
And then there's a soil depth on top of it. Because actually the soil is what holds that concrete down. It makes the concrete hard to lift up. What you're essentially doing with the concrete, for anyone that doesn't know, is its weight, but what it really is a big surface area that has to work its way up against soil that has tension already among the molecules of the soil. So the key to making a concrete collar work is that the concrete collar has to be below grade, and then there has to be soil packed on top of it. And with the clay soils we have, if we actually do a good job putting a collar down in the ground, the soil has good adhesion properties. So it does hold together well, and it does make it challenging to pop that out of the ground. We have barns, which are notorious for picking. Yes. And we have set ours up to allow them to pick up wind because I want the ventilation through there. I know some people will turn them so that the wind doesn't blow straight through and lift. And we've talked before that we've had tornadoes on my farm. And we've actually racked the top and not lifted them. The posts have moved up less than an inch.
Okay.
Because we did a proper job of putting a collar three 3 foot down, and then have at least 18 to 20 inches of soil on top of that concrete collar. And that was an intentional design, Brian, that we wait at the base to stabilize the post, and then soil on top to hold that post in place. And despite racking all of the ribs in one of the hoop barns, the tornado came really through pressures. The post really, I mean, minimal lift in those posts, which thank goodness that happened, because we had plenty of other things to clean up after the tornado. But I'm not suggesting that if you're in an EF3 or an EF4 tornado that it's going to survive it. It won't. That's the reality. It will not survive that. It's good for those winds. But if you have a wind speed that sits an EF0 around 100 mile an hour, somewhere in that ballpark,
yeah,
some of these structures will actually handle those and survive it if we are doing a good job anchoring.
I mean, most in your engineering structures, like for ag at least, going to be handled 90 mile per hour wind for 3 seconds, I think. Is that?
Yeah, I can't remember if it's a 1 or a 3 second load. I'd have to look back at the ASCE7 standard to see exactly how long, but it is the wind load is a bit essentially, but it's not a duration.
Yeah, we're not planning for, because at some point, if you have it similar to Princeton, if you have an F4 or F5 tornado come through, it's not going to,
it doesn't matter,
the structure is not going to hold up to
it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Most of our structures aren't designed for 150. But here our design wind condition should give us 105 to, depending on. And then there's some factors, because we're in an ag structure, safety factors also. Ours come down a little bit from that. But, you know, it is worth noting that a lot of structures will handle very brief durations of. But that doesn't mean, just because the structure will, that doesn't mean that the posts, if they're set incorrectly. In order for the structure to handle it, the post has to be anchored in the ground correctly, because part of the transfer of those loads is to the soil.
Yes.
Sometimes we have a pin connection in our design perspective that allows only certain types of loads and no moments. But a lot of times, if we're burying a post in the ground, we're putting in a fixed connection, and that means we really need to be cognizant of what we're doing and make sure that structure is correctly and deep enough to give ourselves an outlet.
Yeah, because even some of those, pretty much the way you described it, it's that's acting like our anchor. Yep. It's our anchor to keep that post. And so the uplift force is really one of the things, you know, sometimes we have to worry about, you know, maybe put some kind of footing down if we're worried about our building sinking. But otherwise, it's, you know, trying to fight, you know, pretty much the Y direction. Going down, we're going to go up. And most of the time, we're trying to fight against that uplift.
Yeah. I mean, most people, if they have failed on the downward forces, will find out very quickly, because the structure won't stay square.
Yes.
So if they haven't dug deep enough, if they haven't set it in the right spot, if they're on a sinkhole, if things like that happen, you'll notice, because the whole post will start sinking to the ground, and you'll be like, well, that was a fail.
Yep.
But the uplift forces don't always become obvious right away. It's only a sense that we
see some of these take place. And so we're going into this March, you know, it's always in like a lion, out like a lamb, or however that saying goes.
In like a lion, out like a lamb, but notoriously, we actually have very tough weather here. So
yes,
it might come out temperature-wise more lamb-like at the end of March, but but wind-wise, I don't know that I would say that we'll come out in a lot better shape than we go in. Although, looking at today, hopefully we come out with slightly better weather than we came into March with. So
it's definitely, you know, something we have to think about, because we're here in Kentucky, and I think we've done the analysis before, just generalized for the state, that it was our predominant wind is coming from the south, southwest, south, for the most part. And that's, you know, if we have our structure open to that south, we're going to see some of those more likely to capture that wind.
Yep. Those monoslope, those roofs that are just one direction, that wind, they are essentially an airplane wing or a sail or however you want to think about it, but it's just a big surface that picks up that updraft, and there's a lot of pressure inside those three structures. one of the reasons that some of the people in animal science encouraging of people to think about either a two or a one-sided structure, anything that doesn't allow that pressure to be held quite so tightly is not a bad thing to consider if you don't absolutely need
it. Right.
Something else just to...
And you know, completely enclose the structure, but then we also lose sunlight. We're going to lose
sunlight and airflow, all of that. Of, and to be honest, most people don't want a fully enclosed structure. They wanted an enclosed structure that you build a barn and would most likely then have for anchor. So just something that everyone should sort of keep in the back of their mind. Now, the other one that's interesting that is maybe a smaller version of this would be some of the mineral feeders.
Oh, yeah.
Or little feed structures in general, those and treat feeders for cattle. All of those things also can be a little bit tough with wind because they are not. And still, they can receive wind and blow over. Generally, a fully loaded treat feeder doesn't have a lot of problem with the weight it has, but when they go empty, I've seen them blow.
Yeah.
Which is kind of wild to see. You know, do you never want to crumple one of those because they're quite an expensive purchase?
Yeah, I think, you know, wind, you know, we're coming at that time of year. The wind is going to become an issue. It's not really an issue in the summertime, but it's definitely an issue this time of year. And so we just got to think about, be cognizant of, you know, structures. And, you know, sometimes you mentioned the goats and other small animals, calf hutches.
Mm.
So they can be challenging.
Yeah, they can disappear real fast.
Yep. So we have them kind of over the crest of the hill, so it's not as bad from a wind direction standpoint. And, you know, we didn't mention that, you know, sometimes you might have a structure. It may not be an issue if you have trees and other wind blocks, potentially. Yep.
Yeah, and where you locate it will play. But a lot of people want that wind there to dry out the structure. So they're playing this fine balancing, wanting airflow and not wanting to airflow. But you are right. Sometimes if there is another structure downwind, whether that's a barn or a tree or whatnot, it will break up the wind and reduce the air. These structures, and that does help. Not having it at the ridge and having it lower on a hillside will help, but having it at the bottom to poor drain, you're balancing out.
Yeah, because I know a lot of times I've been up towards Owen County and other places where they're close to the river, they get a lot of wind at the ridges. Well, they don't want to
risk placing structures on that
just because they know there's a fair amount of wind challenge for their structure.
That's a fair point. Consider that for each.
So, you know, or they'd have to make sure that whatever they put up there is going to be, and make sure their post depth. I guess the emphasis for today is ensure your post depth and your structure is anchored properly.
Yep. I think that's a good philosophy, and you will be home cleaning up a structure that was improperly anchored this evening, it looks like. So,
yeah, have fun times.
Fun times. Okay, Josh. So with that discussion out of the way, what's your goal on the farm?
I think the next week we're going to try to keep spreading some manure, keep cleaning out a structure. So it's little by little. And then I think we're starting to think about our spring herd. So okay. We got our other herd, starting to think about our spring herd. We don't calve until later on in March, or late March, early April. So we're trying to avoid any and all, like, really bad or cold, potentially cold weather patterns.
Yeah, we will be weaning calves not this weekend, but the following weekend. So we're going to start getting ready for that, getting the barn prepped and cleaned up for that. We had a water line that froze the cold spell earlier this year and replaced that last week. We have to finish resetting the water tank and things like that in the barn. So a couple small things. Nothing was leaking tremendously, but just before we run cattle into a cracks in it that might turn into major issues. Water secure for the cattle when we wean those calves. So
Right.
Little like final details, getting those little things. And we still have a little bit of meat.
Okay.
So those things in combination with, and after the rain and the storm, I guess we'll have probably some cleanup to this week, but lots to get through.
Yep. Tonight's going to be fence line checks.
Yes. I think that's fair. I'm sure my husband is out doing them right now, but I'm sure later tonight I will direction to go do something, pick something, or make sure that there's there'll be something for me to do when I get.
Oh yeah, always essential items.
Okay, and with that, I think that's a good end for today's show. We will see you guys with another podcast week.
Take care, everybody.
Have You Heard is a production of the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, along with the Department of Biosystems and Agricultural Engineering. Discover what's wildly possible at ca.uky.edu.